You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair once again with you today. And I'm joined on this occasion by Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. Mick, I was going to say long time no see. I did see you a couple of weeks ago.
2 weeks ago today. Yes.
Is this your podcast debut or re-debut? Or have you done one since you've come back?
I did the one that day.
Oh, did you?
I was a stand-in. It was a late call-up.
Okay, right.
Off the subs bench.
Yes.
As it were.
Oh, you can't last 90 minutes now, can you?
No, so. Absolutely.
We've got to...
A long time since I could, Alex. That's another story.
We've got some racing to look forward to from Ripon. Two races at Ripon on Monday, one at Windsor and one at Wolverhampton,
yeah,
as well.
There's a few decent performers on show on Monday. Not bad stuff, actually.
Well, I mean, you take Monday racing for what it is, but at least it's competitive enough tomorrow. And
one or two sort of... Oh, she's still on the up, which we shall get to in due course.
So, Ripon, Windsor, Wolves on this podcast is also racing at Ayr and at Ballinrobe in the evening as well. And I'm actually on William Hill Racing Radio tomorrow with Gareth Topham and John O'Connell. So make sure you join us from 1:35 for all of the action. We'll just start by looking back at yesterday's racing, Mick. It was not the strongest Saturday that we've ever seen, but there was plenty of it. We'll start with the Shergar Cup.
Yeah. It's really sort of got its niche in the calendar now, hasn't it?
It has.
The purists were turning the noses up early, but it's immensely popular with the crowds. Ascot, second biggest crowd of the year after Royal Ascot, which when you think you've got your King George, etc., etc. And the jocks seem to put their heart and soul into it as well, don't they? They really, you could tell the way they were celebrating after they'd ridden the winners of their respective races. It means something to them.
Exactly.
And they get into, rather than just riding for themselves and the connections all the time, because there's nothing quite like being a team player, Alex, as you well know.
Well, absolutely, Mick. Absolutely. But no, it's, as you said, it does sort of have its place now, doesn't it?
Definitely.
And for all that there are those that aren't the biggest fan of it, to be honest, I was in here yesterday. And if you're not a big fan of the Shergar Cup, that's fine. Look at Haydock and Newmarket instead. You know, there's still plenty of good racing going on alongside it if you aren't a fan.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's probably a bit unfortunate in one sense that Ryan Moore was going to take part in it, which would have given it, you know, a big lift. I had to go to America, but his stand-in played a blinder, didn't he?
Fran Berry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, went on to win the Silver Saddle, and his win in the final race as well ensured that Great Britain and Ireland won the team prize as well.
Yeah.
And Fran Berry, of course, is a jockey who, in the last year, things haven't really gone to plan for him.
No, lost his job with Rafe Beckett. I don't know what went wrong there, but he's a great man, he's Fran, a good rider, and he'll fill that gap in his connections. Plenty of people want to use Franberry. Great man. If he was £7 heavier, he'd be a fantastic national jockey. I think he's a frustrated national jockey quietly, but there you are. But he's a great lad, his Fran, and a good jockey.
And while we're on the subject of jockeys, one of his teammates yesterday, Jamie Spencer, rode his 2,000th British winner.
There was a couple of landmarks yesterday. Well done to Jamie, who did briefly retire and soon thought better of that. And as he's riding, well, for me, better than he's ever done, Spencer. He just does his own thing. If you don't like it, don't get involved.
He's so good at Ascot.
Brilliant
on that straight course.
Brilliant judge of pace. Jamie, and we saw him in that first race yesterday, didn't he? Harley Doyle looked to have it all sewn up and put to bed, and then Jamie thought had other ideas, and he's a great judge of pace, and for me that is what I look for in a jockey more than anything, judgment of pace.
Well, while we're talking about that, another very good judge of pace, normally from the front, is Joe Fanning.
Oh, what a star Joe's been over there. I mean, I haven't held a licence to train horses since 92. But Joe was riding winners for me then. Mm. Here we are in 2017, and he's still knocking up 100 winners a year. Mm. In early August...
That was yesterday, by the way. That's why we mentioned him.
That was on Saturday, yeah. And early August, 100 winners. Mm. He's just unbelievable. And he looks no different to what he did almost 30 years ago.
Nor do you, though, Mick.
Oh, thank you very much, Alex.
You were equally haggard then.
Absolutely, yes. Mm. Well, when I was born, the midwife took one look at me and slapped my mother.
Well, there you go. Right, we'll focus on Monday's racing then. Two clear, by the way, on Monday, comes from Air and Windsor. We're going to turn our attention to Ripon first, though, the 3 o'clock handicap over a mile and 6 furlongs. 7 of them set to go to post here. Some old favourites in here, mate.
There's some old and some sort of, some up and comers as well, isn't there? I think the market will revolve around West Drive, Alex, who's won 2 of his last 3. He's quite a late developer, this, by See the Stars, and he's continued improving as he steps up in trip, and there is more to come. And he's probably the one to beat. He could. I did have a look to see if he was in the Eber. He's not. Mm. But he could well actually turn into a Cesarewitch horse before the end of the season, this horse, because he does appear to stay all day. And I think he's going to take an awful lot of beating here. But he is going to be a slightly prohibitive price for a race that's got a bit more depth to it than you might think, Alex.
OK, we'll just mention the two old boys before we move on to other dangers. Highland Castle has got plenty to prove here. But Chancery is one of my favourite horses in training, but it has been quite a while since he did manage to win a race. It'd be lovely to see him do so.
Well, I'm going to tell you an interesting fact now about Chancery that you may not know this. And they don't often run him at distances in excess of a mile and a half. I think he's only ever been once on the flat. Mm-hmm. He had one run over a mile and six. But this horse was second in the listed bumper at Cheltenham behind the new one. Now, with that form in the book, would you not think it might be worth persevering with over a longer trip? Especially he's getting a bit older and, he does need races run to suit him, but longer trips might just give him a bit more breathing space.
I'm just looking back at his form. Second ever start was on New Year's Day 2012, behind the new one at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And then follow that up by being fairly soundly beaten at Newbury behind Shut the Front Door. I honestly didn't know that. And I've said that's one of my favourite horses in training.
Yeah.
Shut the Front Door, Village Vic, Gevrey Chambertin.
Well, I went.
Chancery, by the way, finished 7th in 8th in that race, Coney Gree.
There you go. There you go, Gold Cup winners. I mean, the reason I went back that far was because I was looking. I didn't recall Chancery going this far before, and that's why I went back so far. And I thought that was quite intriguing.
He did look very, very one-paced last time, almost in the manner of just an old boy who just doesn't quite have the legs that he used to. I'd be interested to see him at this
point. That was 19 days ago, and weren't David O'Mara's under a cloud then?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Didn't they go a long time, 75 runners or something, without a winner quite recently?
Okay.
I wouldn't rule it, and he is a dual winner at Ripon as well, and Ripon form often reproduces itself, Alex, as you well know. I wouldn't put anybody off back in Chancery, either on the pro market or whatever. But okay.
In some way, shape or form.
In some way, shape or form.
You want him on side.
Yeah, he's well handicapped on his very best, isn't he?
Mm. Okay.
And I wouldn't have thought... Yeah, I don't... I would have thought he was probably one of the horses of O'Mara's that was suffering a bit last time. And they do seem to have turned the corner again, don't they?
Yeah, okay. So would you side with Chancery here?
I'm more worried about On Fire.
Down at the bottom.
Because
the 6 on the race card, James Bethel and Philip Makin.
So he's getting quite a lump of weight off West Drive and Chancery. And he's been a very consistent performer this year. Dual winner. He's run as well as his 2 wins in defeat the last twice. Mm. And I think that he's... this is a really good trip for him on Fire. And I think he might even be, with West Drive bound to take a big chunk out of the market, he might end up the value of the race on fire.
Yeah,
it's a shame that we've only got seven runners, but you know, one, two each way. I would think On Fire would reward each way odds at an each way price. The stable in good form. It receives plenty of weight, as I said, from West Drive and Chantry. And his marks improved a stone in 2017. And the signs are that there's still more to come, Alex. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'll take a chance, a bit of a chance on Fire. But it's a fascinating race, isn't it?
Really good race. As is the 330, handicap over a mile. Now, in that previous race, we mentioned West Drive for Messrs. Varian and Atzaney. Well, Varian's got another runner in this one, but Andrea is on one for Simon Crisford, who is carrying top weight by some distance in this three-year-old handicap. We've also got horses from Art Johnston, Richard Fye, Tim Easter, be Brian Smart. There's only six of them, but you'll do well to rule any of them out.
Well, I think the reason of the Varian horse and Eagle Creek are both in the same ownership, and Atzaney invariably rides for. So he'll have had the pick of those, and it's no surprise to me that he's picked at Eagle Creek. We haven't seen him for 100 days, but he won his maiden at Lingfield easy enough in April. Everything went right next time at Newmarket on his handicap debut. He lost a shoe in the race. He was cut to bits on a hind leg, and he was looked after, let's face it, when all this went wrong. He said Simon Chris has given him plenty of time to recover. He's taken on his own age group, which is a plus as well for one so inexperienced. And I think he's going to take all the beating. You mentioned Fajara Bridge. He likes it round Ripon, as we touched on earlier. Course and distance form is never a bad thing to have. I just think the form doesn't quite stand up to the level that's going to be required to win this. And if you want a Casa Tarifa, that should benefit from the step back in trip. I think she ran well enough at Goodwood without staying that far at Goodwood. But Brother McGonagall's interesting. He's been in good form, as most of his stable companions. And he had a very inexperienced apprentice on at York, and he did too much too early, and that's fatal at York.
Yeah,
he's got stronger handling here, and if he's going to be surprised, not surprised, but if he's going to be a winner other than Eagle Creek, it'll be him for me. But I'll stay with Eagle Creek, I think. Maybe do the forecast.
Well, Cam Hardy was actually on board for two of the horses' three wins as well. So
that's a good move to get him back on. Because just the kid, he just took off, I think, the boy yesterday. He got rush of blood or something.
Robert Dodsworth, it was on that.
Yes,
occasion.
That's right. Yeah, and you cannot do that at York.
No. Interesting, though, that the horse has managed to win three races out of his last five and is still comfortably bottom weight in this.
And he's still rated in the mid 70s.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Okay. That's Ripon done and dusted. We'll turn our attention to Windsor then, the evening racing at 7:10. That's the first race that we're going to focus on. We're going to look at Wolves in just a moment, the 7:20 there. But at Windsor, the 7:10 is a handicap over a mile and two. And we do have eight runners set to go to post here.
Yeah, let's hope they all go.
Yeah, let's hope so, because although there are, well, there's one standout candidate as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Or at least one that the eye is immediately drawn to. Again, the rest of them seem to be fairly closely matched. In making reference to there is Don't Give Up for Sidebins for Martin Lane.
Yeah, one of only 2 3-year-olds in the race. The other one, Seniority, who hasn't got the form of Don't Give Up. But Don't Give Up, rating of 91, should be unbeaten, should have won a Newmarket. Just gave the winner far, far too much rubber. It poached an 8-length lead at one point. You know, and for a horse so inexperienced as Don't Give Up was after Causley winning his Kempton Maiden, he just couldn't get there in time, Alex. And I think this slightly stiffer test round here, I think he should be in a different league to these, but I think the price is going to be nothing special.
Okay.
Tolson's interesting. This is probably a bit easier than the Newmarket handicap he ran in last time on good to soft ground. And he's got the first time cheap pieces for the inform Eve Johnson Houghton. So, yeah, he didn't run badly. That was one of these improving three-year-olds he ran into at Newmarket last time. And that's the trouble, these older horses, with the weight for ages it is at this time of year, you run into an improver. You're suddenly trying to give a lump of weight to a horse who's going faster than the handicap and to keep up with them.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think Tolson might reward each way support, but I do think Don't Give Up is going to be very hard to beat.
Okay, with Martin Lane on board in that Windsor 7:10. The final race we'll focus on, as I alluded to earlier, is Wolverhampton's 7:20. It is a handicap over the extended mile trip. And once again, the eye is immediately drawn to Godolphin, another three-year-old here. Big tour for Syed Binsrow and David Egan on board this time. But we've got 13 runners set to go to post here. And it's not going to be easy for Big Tour.
It's not, is it? He's got a good draw, though, in six. And Egan's five's going to help. And although this is his Tapita debut, he did make his racecourse debut in a Polytrack maiden at Kempton, so it's no big deal, and he works on it every day. And that race had actually worked out quite well, that maiden at...
The debut effort.
Yes, the debut effort. He's back up in trip here, and he was excellent second at Newbury to a horse who actually ran well, went down fighting in one of the Shergar Cup races yesterday. So the form was certainly not let down by that. It was one of those blanket finishes where there was heads and necks that between
Rakes
them.
Progress.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. And I think back in trip is probably... He just flattened out a bit close home at Newbury. And so coming back in trip, came there to win it, flattened out a bit close home. I think back to the extended mile could be ideal for him, whichever way you look at it. He's the one to beat. The two each ways, if you like. Wind in My Sails, who is back to his winning mark, which is quite interesting. He does look as though he's running himself into form. I think he's got very solid each way claims. Had a good season last year and looks as though he's on the way back. And the other one who comes here with a bit of form in the book is Commodity, who had 65 days off since slightly dissipating when a beaten favourite last time, but needs another one who makes a Tapita debut.
That was on soft ground as well last time,
yeah.
Which you don't want to be making excuses for the horse, but,
no.
But at the same time, the three wins were on good to firm and, and that, standard going. So,
and that could be why they've decided to give him a go on the poly track. It remains £5 higher than the last win, which would just slightly concern me. But he's going to be there or thereabouts, and the absence is no problem. He's going after a longer break than this.
Yeah.
Good. Four nice races there to get your teeth into on Monday.
It's not bad stuff, actually.
It's
is
not.
It?
There could be one or two decent prospects there.
Okay. Can you just spin us through your four fancies?
I can. We've got two at Ripon for you, the 3 o'clock. I'm going to stay with On Fire from the informed James Bethel's yard there, though. It's a very good race, one I shall watch with interest. I got invited tomorrow. Can't go, unfortunately.
Oh.
The 3:30 at Ripon. Eagle Creek, the owner's got two in it, Zany's plumped for Eagle Creek, so I'm going to stay with him. In the Windsor 7:10, the Godolphin three-year-old Don't Give Up, bidding to make amends for that unlucky second at Newmarket last time. And the Godolphin double, hopefully, on the cards in the 7:20 at Wolverhampton with Big Two, another one bidding to go one better than he did last time.
OK. Lovely stuff, Mick. Thanks very much for joining me, and we'll catch up with you soon.
My pleasure, Alex. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.